We're on to item number five then.
Good morning. Mr. Robbins, members of the commission.
Thank you.
This is the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club. Bear with me 1 second. Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club is requesting authorization to construct a 70-foot-long pier with a 50-foot L-head adjacent to leased property on Meyer Creek at 734 Oak Hill Road in Lancaster County. The pier is for transient use by club members, and it's protested by several adjacent and nearby property owners as well as the owners of the nearby Yankee Point Sailboat Marina. Take a little trip north. As you go up the Rappahannock River, turn into the Coratomen. Meyer Creek is here. The reference, little town of Irvington right here. As we again come into Meyer Creek, go past the Yankee Point Sailboat Marina. Subject property is up in the headwaters of Meyer Creek. This is our most recent series, 2009. We don't have an update for some of the more rural areas, but the arrow indicates the approximate location of the proposed pier. And took some little flight back in April. You can see the Coratomen River in the background. Again, the Yankee Point Sailboat Marina, if I can get my, is here. And the subject property is just downstream of this pier here, approximately this location. You can see the rural nature of the waterway. Again, subject property is this point of land. Pier would come off in about this location. And it was clear enough that day I could actually see the stakes, PVC pipes that were put out to mark the dimensions of the L head. The pier would come off of the upland in about this location and turn here. This is the property of Jim Young, adjacent property owner. And this is the property of Karen Patterson, another adjacent property owner, and one of the protestants to the project. You can see the recently constructed clubhouse in this location, and the parking lot comes back in here. This is all wooded. Let me just go back to that one. The Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club is a private social club with approximately 108 members. They get together monthly for social activities, races, cookouts, and that kind of thing. Many of the club members are residents of Lancaster County. I don't know that all of them are. The club holds various boating activities, seasonal boating activities, including weekly races in the spring and fall, after which many of the members return to the clubhouse for further social activities. The clubhouse itself is located on a 3.9-acre parcel. This parcel is actually part of a larger parcel, as I try to get the mouse again, that was all owned by Mr. Young, who subdivided a portion of it and sold that to Anker and Gail Madsen, who are also club members. The permit application was received January 12th from George Bott, who is the Vice Commodore, or was the Vice Commodore of the club. I believe there may be a change in title now. It requested to construct a single private user pier with two slips. When we first got the application, looking at some of the information, I wasn't quite clear on what they were requesting. Additional information came forward that clarified everything. And as we move forward, we'll see that the county considered it as a private pier, non-commercial pier, which they have certain requirements for, whereas VMRC clearly felt that it was not a private residential riparian pier, which would enjoy an exemption under the code. It's multi-user, other places where boats are moored, therefore it needed a permit. The original application indicated 6 to 8 boats would use the pier in the 22 to 27 foot range, small sailboats, and they would be rafted up to the pier, 3 or 4 abreast, because the pier itself as you can see in the drawing. Here we go to the subject property. Pier coming off in this direction. Initially, it was shown to be 12 feet off of the property line. This is actually a revised drawing, but they moved the pier further off of the property line, I believe, to meet some of the county requirements. Either way, the pier is to be located 25 feet off of the property line, coming out 70 feet with a 50-foot T-head, L-head. I had asked Mr. Bott to show us how they intended to raft 6 to 8 boats or tie up 6 to 8 boats at the pier. This is the drawing that resulted from that. Again, the pier comes off of the upland, 50-foot L-head. You can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is, you know, kind of a typical mooring plan, if you will, that would show how that many boats would be tied at the pier. No outboard mooring piles were requested. And you can see the depths. I don't know why the mouse isn't. There we go. -3, -4, -5. So the end of the pier is out beyond the 5-foot contour. But some boats can moor inside of the 5-foot contour. We had some information here regarding the size of the vessels. Staff also asked Mr. Bott for a copy of the lease agreement between the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club and the upland landowner, the Madsens. We received that. It's part of why your packet is so large. All that information is in the packet. But essentially, Sven Anker Madsen and Gail Struthers Madsen are leasing the property to the Old Sailors Club, who is the lessee. The lease is for the purpose of establishing a private, not-for-profit social club. The Old Sailors Club, LLC, has the right to sublease the property to Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club, which was formerly the Yankee Point Yacht Club. Again, a not-for-profit organization. The Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club built the clubhouse on the parcel for that use. The property is zoned R1 residential. In Lancaster County, you can't have a yacht club in R1 residential. It's not a by right use. I guess special exception might authorize it, but it's not an authorized use in their code. And the county has found that the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club is not a yacht club, so it's allowed. It's been authorized. That information is on 243 of your packet. And there's also a letter from the county that goes into that was actually written to Mrs. Patterson, one of the protestants, explaining how this is an acceptable use in the county. The county has also determined that the pier is a private pier, therefore it's an allowable use in the waterfront overlay of the residential district.
Let me ask a quick question.
Go ahead, Mr. Coleman.
At that point, yeah. Has that been appealed, that determination by the county?
I don't believe
okay,
it has.
Thank you.
So, the point of all of that is the county is okay with the request as it's moving forward. Get to the issues. The proposed pier will encroach on a portion of a 3.2-acre oyster lease held by Mr. Harcum, M.S. Harcum. Mr. Harcum originally objected to the project. Let me just back up 1 second. This shows the contour of the shoreline as we come around going up into the creek, and this was submitted to just basically show the depth contours offshore. As you come 66 feet offshore in this location, you reach the 5-foot contour. It took me a little while to figure out how to read this. This is getting more to the point. Once again, the subject parcel is in this location. The pier was to come off somewhat upstream of the point about here and then onto Mr. Harcum's oyster lease. Once again, he objected initially, had concerns about the damages that might be incurred to his lease. He has since withdrawn his objection. There's been an agreement between Mr. Harcum and the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club, so he no longer objects. These other leases upstream are all riparian leases. that's associated with the upland parcels. I bring this in. This is actually the most recent information we have from the Health Department's Division of Shellfish Sanitation, October of last year. As we go up Meyer Creek, this green dot actually is pretty close to where you will see on site a sign that indicates shellfishing, you know, is prohibited for direct marketing. So that the boundary of that seasonally condemned area is about at the location of the proposed pier. Upstream is currently open. Downstream is seasonally condemned. And that'll come up a little bit further as well. The project is also protested by an adjacent property owner, Ms. Patterson. Ms. Patterson feels the proposal will directly and negatively affect her property. Again, Patterson parcel is here. This is the Patterson pier. They share, the boundary line is somewhere at the head of this little gut. She believes Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club is a de facto yacht club, and zoning does not permit such a use. Her letter of opposition states the project will infringe on her property rights and reasonable expectations of peace and quiet, and has concerns related to safety, decrease in property value, nuisance and pollution, and the rights of fishing and crabbing professionals, and indicates the scale of the project as it had concerns about the scale of the project as it relates to navigation in that part of the waterway. Ms. Patterson later submitted a petition with 11 other signatures in opposition to the project. She speaks for those petitioners. I would assume that's in your packet as well. Three other nearby property owners, Mrs. Kirby, Patricia Kirby, Mr. John Herman, and Kevin and Kirsten Null also object to the project. They all feel the proposed pier would not be a private residential pier, but rather a commercial use pier for many individuals in a quiet, peaceful residential area. Additional concerns raised include proper zoning for such a use, sewage discharge, noise, adverse behavior, and safety, all of which would affect their right to quiet enjoyment of the surrounding residential properties. Bear with me one second. Easier this way. The owners of the nearby Yankee Point Sailboat Marina, Ken and Karen Null, also live nearby. They have opposed the project and feel this is a commercial rather than private use, thus is inappropriately zoned. They state that the location of the proposed pier near the head of the creek with limited tidal exchange could result in adverse environmental impacts to fish and shellfish, wildlife, and water quality. They also feel the proposal would adversely affect their nearby marina business, which is a Virginia Clean Marina, and employs 15 people, resulting in a potential loss of at least four slip holders and possibly jobs. Again, just for proximity. Boy, the mouse is really slow. Well, that's the Yankee Point Sailboat Marina. You can clearly see there, and the subject property is just upstream. There it is. So this is the relative distance. I apologize for skipping back and forth. This is the clubhouse on the subject property, the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club clubhouse. Go out onto the back deck. You can see the creek here. Shoreline comes up in. Ms. Patterson's property would be to the left. This is the applicants that, at my request, went ahead and staked the alignment of the pier. This little PVC pipe indicates where it's coming off of the upland, out 70 feet, turning downstream. That would be the L-head. Now just turning slightly to the right, looking up into the headwaters of Meyer Creek, Mr. Young's private pier. You can see a relatively undeveloped waterway. Now turning the other direction, actually standing at the base of Mr. Young's pier, looking down his shoreline, picking up the stakes, and then you can see Yankee Point Marina off in the distance. I went ahead and put this on. The pier would be upriver or to the right of this actual point But this, as far as I can tell, is that green dot that I referenced in the shellfish sanitation map, indicating that essentially a line going across the waterway from this location indicates the beginning of the seasonally condemned waters downstream, whereas everything upstream to our right would be currently open for direct marketing and where those riparian leases are. I'll just leave that on there. Again, it gives the relative location and the neighborhood. The Virginia Department of Health indicates the property is in compliance with the sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings and has therefore been approved. The Yankee Point Yacht Club, doing business as the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club, has a marina pump-out agreement with Carter Cove Marina, 5.47 miles away by water from the proposed pier. And I showed that's actually, it's in Irving, it's in Weems. It's down the Coratomin and up into Carter Creek. The proposed pier is located in approved shellfish growing waters, right on the edge of the approved and seasonally condemned waters, but is very near the boundary of that seasonally condemned area. The definition seasonally condemned prohibits taking shellfish from this area for any reason from the first day of April until the last day of October of any year. Again, as the commission likely knows, you can take and move oysters from that area. You just can't harvest them for direct marketing. You can relay them to clean areas for later harvest. So it doesn't mean you can't take oysters just during the seasonal condemnation. Division of Shellfish Sanitation indicates, and I put this in quotations because I was trying to get a handle on what they were trying to tell me in their letter, that the activity will not require a change in the classification provided it is not constructed to provide temporary or permanent docking space for more than 10 boats. So provided the pier doesn't provide docking for more than 10, an additional closure should not be required. DEQ indicates the water quality impacts should be minimal and temporary in nature, and because the Corps of Engineers said the project complies with their RP18, DEQ Virginia Water Quality Protection Permit is not required. Lancaster County Wetlands Board determined that the construction of the pier will not require a wetlands permit. The county determined that the proposed pier meets the definition for private pier. One of the exemptions enjoyed under the wetlands law is the construction of a private pier. Therefore, it didn't need a wetland permit because it wasn't commercial. In summary, while the application originally indicated the subject pier was to be single user, private, non-commercial, residential, as checked off on the little application booklet, it was clear to us that it wasn't a private pier, that it was something other and likely needed a permit. We had asked the applicants for additional information in that regard. They've been very forthcoming. They provided all the information we've asked for. Mr. Budd indicated that the pier would clearly be for multiple users. In addition, the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club does not actually own the land from which the pier would emanate. So as a leasee, they are not entitled to the riparian rights that would otherwise go along with ownership of that parcel. We sought some guidance from the Attorney General's office, and once the Oyster Ground leaseholder's objection went away, that kind of resolved that issue under Section 630 of the code, which would not allow us to authorize an encroachment on leased oyster ground without their consent. Staff, we are sympathetic to the objections raised by the local residents and the owners of the yacht club, especially those related to zoning. However, you know, we defer to the locality in matters related to zoning. As asked, as far as I know, that decision has not been appealed, so that decision stands. However, issues related to the waterway, specifically water quality, navigation, shellfish and finfish resources, are subject to the commission's regulation. Staff believes the proposal could be scaled back to reduce impacts. The location of the proposed pier in the upper portion of the waterway, where flushing is naturally more limited, and where the creek is approximately 300 feet wide. I scaled it from the aerial photographs. I didn't actually put a tape, but it's about 300 feet directly across the waterway from the subject pier to the opposite shoreline. All of that, we felt, needs to be taken into consideration as far as scale of the project. According to the Department of Health, the classification of the surrounding shellfish waters will change from approved to restricted or condemned if the pier is constructed, which would allow docking space for more than 10 boats. We're concerned that as proposed, it would be difficult for us to enforce how many boats that could be moored at the pier. When I got the drawing showing the rafting, you can raft as many boats to each other as you have permission to walk across that next guy's boat. So we weren't sure how we were going to control that to where it's limited to less than 10. The applicant stated in the application that 4 to 5 boats could be expected on an average evening, with up to 8 or 9 boats on occasion. Well, that again gave us a little bit of concern as to, well, on a real nice day, when you got people in town, it might exceed that. This again presented an enforcement issue for staff. I was pretty sure that the day 11 boats were tied up at that pier, I'd hear about it and would need to do something about it, or the health department would be notified and could result in a closure of that area. So therefore, we thought a more self-regulating design in the pier would be appropriate. Accordingly, after considering all the factors in 28.2.12.05 of the code and weighing all of the concerns raised by those in opposition, we recommend approval of the project, provided it's scaled back such that the pier extends no more than 50 feet total channelward of mean low water. Currently proposed at 70 feet. Bring it back 20 feet. Given the existing depths, this would reduce the likelihood of vessels mooring on the inboard side of the L head. And you can pick up the depth contours, -3, -4, -5, out to 70. Pull it back. That would allow the pier to reach -4 feet. Everything channelward of the pier would be waters deeper than 4 feet. And again, would reduce the likelihood that vessels would come inboard of the L head into shallower waters to moor or raft up. While this would not eliminate the potential impacts resulting from additional vessels in the upper part of the waterway, as club members could lawfully anchor out and dinghy in, we felt it should limit the number of vessels tied to the pier to that which would not require closure by VDH. Again, giving their wording, design it such that 10 vessels couldn't tie up there or would be less likely to tie up there. We would also recommend that revised drawings, if the commission approves it, we would recommend that the revised drawings of the modified pier be submitted, which actually accurately reflects whatever the commission's decision is, including a maximum of 9 vessels rafted on the outboard side of the pier, and a royalty assessed at a rate of $1.50 a square foot for the encroachment of the pier and the bold outline of the rafted vessels. There are no mooring piles creating slips proposed channelward of the pier, but as shown in the revised drawings and as stated in the application, it's likely that area of state bottom will be encumbered by the rafted vessels, whether there's mooring piles there or not. And it's been the commission's policy to charge a royalty for the footprint of the structure as well as the water that's encumbered by the moored vessels. If approved in any configuration which would allow vessels to tie up to the pier, and the Virginia Department of Health later determines that the expansion of the condemnation area is required as a result of the additional boats from the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club vessels, staff would require further modification or removal of the pier upon such notice by the commission. There's a lot of information in your packet. I hope I didn't miss anything critical. If I did, I'm sure someone's going to catch it. The applicants are represented by Mr. Bott, and there are protestants here as well, and I would be happy to try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Woodward. Is there any active propagation of shellfish upstream of this site? You pointed out that there's a condemnation line essentially very close to the site, but
yes.
Is there any, if you know, is there any active propagation up there?
Around, and I apologize, but I don't know if there's a better way to do it. Mr. Harcum's letter indicated that this is good ground. He currently uses this ground. I don't know, he indicated that the pier could have direct impacts on resources, but he indicated that the lease itself, this larger lease, he does currently put seed down and then moves it later to open areas for grow out to market size. So he is actively using this lease.
Thank you. Other questions, Mr. Fox?
Yeah, on that same point, Mr. Harcum has agreed to let the pier come in, but do we worry about successors to Mr. Harcum of the same property?
I don't know how that would be handled under if he were to lose his lease or sublease it to someone else. I have to defer to either Tony or Ben on that item, but all I can point you to is the letter from Mr. Harcum that was it's actually the last item in your packet, 6F2, a notarized letter withdrawing his protest. I don't know that we could control that.
Well,
yeah.
Council suggested that perhaps in a future lease you would carve out the pier.
The physical footprint of the pier, correct.
Right. So
I would say that lease, this pier, and we were to get no request for another lease in there. We generally survey them around existing structures.
Okay.
I guess it was a parking transfer his lease to someone else in his current configuration that would be between him and whomever he's transferring to, recognize previous agreements that have been made, I would hope.
One would hope.
Thank you. Mr. Fox?
I have another question unrelated to that one. Do the members contemplate keeping their boats there long term or just overnight, just during a race weekend?
It was represented to me that it would be short term transient usage. They would go out in the river, have a race, come back. Some would tie up at the pier while they have their cookout, what have you, and then would leave again that evening. Again, I think Mr. Bott or other club members could more specifically describe their activities.
Thank you. Mr. Sussman?
Yeah, well, quick question. With regard to land use issues and zoning issues, I'm pretty sure I heard you say that this commission doesn't get involved in that at all. That's between the applicant and the municipality.
That's been my understanding. We generally will not, at the staff level, we wouldn't bring something to you all that hasn't had a local approval. If it's been denied at the local level, you wouldn't, the boathouse or whatever it would be a non-issue for us.
Yes, I've heard in the letters of opposition about the zoning issue, but that's
correct.
Going to be between the applicant and the, I guess, the county.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Further questions? Mr. Plumlin?
The wetlands determination was not actually a vote of the wetlands board, but it was a finding that there was no jurisdiction, and therefore there was never a vote by the local wetlands board that we're sitting over or hearing. We are just asserting our jurisdiction based on our review of the project. Is that accurate?
Correct. The letter in your packet, it's going to be 4-1, is from M.L. Ranson, who's the zoning officer in Lancaster County. Upon receipt of the application and his review of it, he determines whether or not a project needs to go before the wetlands board or not. And he determined it's a private pier, no jurisdiction for the wetlands board.
Thank you. Other questions? Okay, how many people would like to speak on this item, either for or against? I think in the interest of time, I'll go ahead and swear everybody in at once. I'm not going to have to swear in the legal counsel, if anybody here is legal counsel, but otherwise, please rise so I can swear you in. And raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. With that, we'll hear from the applicant first. We'll hear from the applicant and those in support, then we'll hear from those in opposition, and then at the end of that, the applicant will have a moment to an opportunity to rebut anything that's been heard or offer any final comments. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Robbins. Good morning. Good morning, commission members, council. I'm George Bott. Let me just opening up my brief here, if I can. I'm the authorized agent, and I'm also the current vice commodore of the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club. Software is a little different than mine, but I guess it's going. We have an information brief for you this morning. We have some additional information we'd like to share with you. We'd like to address the remaining major objections, and we'd like to address the staff recommendations.
Please do.
Again, I'm the authorized agent. The property owners are Anker and Gail Mattson. They're with us today. And the applicant is the Racing and Cruising Club. Representing the applicant is our Commodore, John Henley. John?
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Robbins, thank you for the opportunity to present our information to you this morning. If
Sir, we could you say your name for the record?
John Henley. I am the Commodore of the Yankee Point Racing Cruising Club. As an aside, I'm also a registered professional engineer in the state of Virginia. Our organization is rather simple. We have a Commodore, the President. We have a Vice Commodore, Mr. Bott. We have a Rear Commodore. We have a fleet captain, we have a treasurer, we have a secretary, we have trustees, of which there are four, and we have bylaws. We have laws, probably not the same ones that you would feel comfortable enforcing, but we're pretty serious about our bylaws. The brief history of our club, as I understand it, the club, or the parcel was originally a farm in 1974. A little marina was started there at Yankee Point, if you will, with a small group of folks. They collected together $35,000, and with that $35,000, they began a club. And Yankee Point Yacht Clubs, or Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club, has been on Meyer Creek for 36 years. So we've been there a long time. In 2009, we decided to move our club, build a new clubhouse the summer of 2011. Right now, we're getting close to having finished that club. In the December of 2011, almost a year, we were able to get our occupancy permit and move in, tickled to death. We have 118 members. We have bylaws and rules for our membership. If the doc, and we hope it is approved, we would have laws in our bylaws as well as the house rules to enforce any regulations, if you will, that you might impose on the use of our dock. No, not a problem. We're good neighbors also. We have seminars. We have seminars that are open to other clubs. You gentlemen are welcome to attend, and we would invite you down to come see the lovely Northern Neck. We have safety boating. We have navigation. We have protection of our waters. We own the water safety programs. Crew training. We have a lot of Coast Guard auxiliary members. Ms. Thiessen, who will speak here in a few minutes, was actually the commodore or the commander of the flotilla that we is in the local area. We also are quite active, at least the TOGA, and the TOGA president is here. Last year, his group, of which there are 33 members of our club that are members of TOGA, planned the million spat. That's their annual goal, and I understand they're well on their way to that million spat again. So from a neighborhood standpoint, from a good neighbor standpoint, we're in the middle of it. That's about it for me. I will wrap up. This is our club. Joel, can we get the other picture, George? This is a view to the east. This would be looking toward the Patterson property, which is one of the folks you'll hear from this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commodore. And I'll just point out that we will need to retain a copy of this presentation for the administrative record.
You're more than welcome. Fortunately, it's not in my handwriting, so you'll be able to read it.
Thank you. Mr. Bott.
To continue, Jay mentioned our application. I wrote that application. I was the principal in the Old Sailor Club, LLC, overseeing the building of that building. I'm a licensed Class A builder in the state of Virginia. We got the CEO, and then they fired me. And the Yacht Club, Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club, hired me as the Vice Commodore, which is the property manager, and I said, go build a pier. So I actually wrote that application in December of 2011 and submitted it. Jay said they got it the first week in the month of January. We put a legal announcement in the Rappahannock Record. There were six objectors, and the oyster release holder withdrew his objection. Our treasurer, Rita Tyson, will address the issue of the club being commercial in nature. We are not commercial in nature.
Thank you, Mr. Bott. If you would please state your name for the record, ma'am, when you come up.
My name is Rita Tyson, and I am the treasurer of Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club. Some of the opponents of the pier have based their opposition on the ground that it is to be a, quote, commercial pier or a, quote, marina, unquote. They are mistaken. Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club is a not-for-profit social club. It does not engage in commercial activities and, in fact, is restricted from doing so under its organizational documents. And everybody connected with the club is a volunteer. You know, our commodores, our treasurers, I can assure you we get no for the incredible amount of work that has been done to build this clubhouse and to manage stormwater runoff and to prepare for a pier application. This is all done with volunteer time and materials. The club's articles of incorporation state that the purpose for which the club is organized is to promote and encourage yachting, seamanship, and good fellowship among the members. This purpose is echoed in the club bylaws. The purpose of the club is to establish an organization of yachtsmen to promote and encourage seamanship, sailing, and allied subjects, and good fellowship among the members of the club. To enhance the ability of the club to carry out its social and recreational purposes, the articles require the club to operate as a 501c7 organization. This is a tax-exempt status under the Internal Revenue Code. Section 501c7 exempts from federal income tax clubs organized for pleasure, recreation, and other non-profitable purposes, substantially all of the activities of which are for such purposes. A commercial operation would generate unrelated business income, which would jeopardize the club's tax exemption. The pier that the club has applied for is to be used solely for the non-profitable purpose of enhancing the water-based activities of the club, including its sailboat racing, cruising, and boating education programs. Far from engaging in commercial activity, club members want nothing more than to use their property in the same way as would any other resident of a waterfront parcel. In fact, the club's intended use is likely to have far less impact on the waterfront than the piers on neighboring properties. Unlike neighboring piers or the many slips in the close-by marina, the club's pier will not be a home for anyone's boat. Boat-owning members of the club keep them full-time elsewhere, either at their homes or at a rented or borrowed slip. They would use this pier as a means to get from a boat to the clubhouse for a member's function, such as a post-race dinner, and back again. One of the goals of VMRC, as expressed in 4 VAC 20-360-20, paragraph 5, is to accommodate, wherever possible, all reasonable and permissible uses of state waters and state-owned bottomlands. A social club located on waterfront property whose purpose is to enhance the enjoyment and safety of boating activities needs and deserves this pier for precisely those reasonable and permissible uses of state waters. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Bott, are you going to be able to address the staff recommendations?
Yes, sir.
Specific to the project? Thank you.
I will address the issue of the club being a marina, and the club, our pier, in fact, would detract from the marina business. Those are two of the objections. You've heard we comply with the zoning in Lancaster County. Our operating revenue comes solely from our membership. That's how we financed and built our building and improved the property. We don't do any commercial activities that are listed here. Sell fuel, don't have pump outs, etc. This far as we were detracting from a marina's business. Our use is temporary in nature, as Rita has said. We'd come back after afternoon race, and I have a revision in the numbers, frankly, because we have 9 months of actual practice now, not my guess, my best guess in December. My best guess in December was 6 to 8 would tie up. Our fleet captain, Warren Hoddle, is telling me now we'd be hard-pressed to get 4 boats to tie up, and I'll show you why in a moment. But the boats that would come up need services. We're boaters. We need fuel. We need ice. We need soda. Those are all at the marina. We need pump-outs. So we'd be coming and going past that marina. So our feeling is we always thought where we would relocate, we'd want to have a synergistic relationship with a marina, and it ought to enhance the business rather than detract from the business. That's our feeling. So that, for that reason, we don't think that objection is valid. This is Jay's photograph. I just use it again. That's obviously the marina. He showed you that. Now, Trustee Joel Dugan, our past Commodore, will address the issue of the club members not living on the creek, and therefore they don't care about the quality of the water.
Good morning, Chairman Robbins, Commission. My name is Joel Dugan. I'm a member of the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club. I was Commodore of the club when the clubhouse was built, and my wife and I live on Oak Hill Road, about a quarter mile away. My purpose today is to answer the objection that club members do not live on Minor Creek and therefore are not concerned about water quality or the environmental impact of a dock. My job is to tell you who our members are. Our total club members are 118. Those that live in Lancaster County as a resident are 86. Those that have a second home in Lancaster is 12. Total owning property in Lancaster is 98, and that's 83% of our members own land and pay taxes in Lancaster County. Please also note the members who actually live on Meyer Creek. 26 members live on Meyer Creek. Another 33 live on the two branches of the Coratomon River. And 18 more live on creeks such as Greenvale, Senior Creek, and Hills Creek in Lancaster County. When I said they live on Meyer Creek, I'm also talking about there are two branches of Meyer Creek, and there are also some coves in that part. If you'll show the next slide, George. All of the yellow pins are where members' houses are on the water and where they keep their boats on Meyer Creek. The orange pin at the top is the location of the dock. The green pin down toward directly south of that is the marina. And the red pins on the other side are all of the club members who live on the Coratomon River that could show in this area. A lot of them live even farther up than that. We choose to live where we do because of the water, and we have a stake in improving the health of the rivers and the creeks. We boat, sail, fish, crab, and raise oysters in these waters. What better incentive could there be to be good stewards of the land and the water around it? And our commitment is not only to what do we do on our own property. The next speaker will provide some of the specific activities that club members participate in, both as a club and as individuals, to improve the quality of both our community and the Marines' resources we all enjoy. Are there any questions from the commission?
Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Okay, seeing none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Bott?
My publicist, Ella Dugan, will talk to the issue of we're not being good news.
Hi, my name is Ellen Dugan. You can define being a good neighbor in a number of ways. But perhaps the best one is, I know what it feels like. Traditionally, good neighborliness involves people, places, engagement, and connection with each other and with ideas and events that affect all of us living in the Northern Neck and Southern Bay area. From a membership perspective, most of our neighbors live in Lancaster, Merry Point, Weems, Whitestone, Heathville, Lively, and Mollusk. From an impact perspective, I need to add Kilmarnock, Farnham, Reedville, Warsaw, Tappahannock, Callio, Burgess, Deltaville, and Gloucester, probably many others, because some of the events we host and some of the members' activities have included people in these areas. YPRCC members take an active role in many, many areas of their immediate and extended communities. If you borrowed a book from the Lancaster Community Library, the chances are good that a YPRCC volunteer assisted you. If you met with local master gardening groups to discuss beautification projects or invasive plants, there were probably several club members present. Our members are active in TOGA, the Tidewater Oyster Gardeners Association, which is a group dedicated in part to educating the public and to reintroducing oysters into the bay. The president of that organization is also a club member. If someone you know could not figure out how to file their income tax return, and that's me, or needed other help on this task, YPRCC members participate in VITA, a program sponsored by the IRS, which offers volunteer income tax assistance. The local VITA program is offered at the Lancaster Community Library on Saturdays before tax time every year. At least three of our members are there regularly. We are a caring group. In our local four-county area, if your best friend, aging relatives, or loved one suffered a life-changing event or was diagnosed with a terminal illness and needed assistance with doctor visits, equipment and supplies, or just a friendly visit, our members are there, actively volunteering in hospice support services of the Northern Neck. Three of them serve on the Hospice Support Services Board of Directors. Many members take an active role in local churches, and at last count, there were at least four ministers in our club. We have people who volunteer for charity or church thrift shops, attend school board meetings, write letters to the editor, support political rallies, participate in charity regattas, escort the tall ships into Norfolk, encourage recycling, or write for a local newspaper that assists small businesses in their advertising efforts. Three of our members are active participants in the Coast Guard Auxiliary. If you happen to have some free shopping time on the Saturday morning before Thanksgiving, drop by the Boys and Girls Club in Kilmarnock for Historyland Communities Workshop's annual holiday greens and gift sale. Money raised through this sale is used for scholarships for local high school students and for gifts to the library and schools. Various YPRCC members participate in making these gifts and meet weekly from March through November. We also conduct, as John mentioned, seminars free of charge and open to everyone on such topics as boating safety, what to do on the water in a hurricane, and how to rescue a man or woman who has fallen overboard. We conduct informative sessions on equipment, rules, and general boat handling as well. Precisely because we are an inclusive part of the community, we've invited neighbors in for an open house and offered local writers a forum to showcase their talents in a series of authors' evenings that have also been well attended by the public. In closing, it's been said by people who study these things that true community is difficult to achieve in our modern world. Maybe this is true, maybe it isn't. But if we take the word to its root meaning, which is a Latin combination of together and gift, I believe this is a wonderful pairing. Nature has indeed gifted us with the opportunity to live together and to enjoy one of the most beautiful places on earth. In return, we have accepted the challenge of learning, growing, and joining others in becoming true members and good neighbors of our incredible community.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Bott?
Quickly, the approvals Jay has gone over, Army Corps of Engineers, our local county, and the DEQ. We worked with the DEQ while we were building the project. We have a published post-construction stormwater management plan. That's published. That's specifically geared to runoff and pollutants going into the creek. We have a published landscape plan. We have a master naturalist who watches over those our property. And we heard of a concern by the neighbor, Mrs. Patterson, next door, about our picnic tables in sight. Our master naturalist incorporated tall grasses in the area within a line of sight to that property to block that view. Now, they're not totally grown up yet, but they will. So we have specific documents geared to water quality and working with the DEQ and the DCR.
Mr. Bott, you have a pump-out agreement, and staff made reference to that, and that's relevant to the, I guess, the risk of condemnation in that area relative to growing out shellfish and propagation of shellfish. Are most of these vessels equipped with holding tanks, or do they simply have portable arrangements?
Some don't have holding tanks. They're pretty small, 20-footers.
But you do have a pump-out agreement with Carter's Cove Marina 5 miles away?
That's correct. It's notarized, and it should be in your package. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
The Department of Health Shellfish Division, incidentally, one of our members is the Whitestone person that samples the water and puts up those signs, Billy McCarty. Their letter says, the activity as described, in other words, our peer as proposed, will not require a change in classification to those waters, provided it is not constructed to provide temporary or permanent docking space for more than 10 boats. Our application shows you 6 to 8 boats. My new information is that based on 9 months of usage, there will be fewer than that on a temporary basis, quite likely never overnight unless there's a big storm or something and we can't get home. And that's, again, that's I'd like to introduce that as new information. So we will comply with that condition stated in the VDH's letter. Just before I go here, let me continue with this. You asked if we address the stack recommendation.
Yes, sir. Please.
No more than 50 feet channel word of mean low water. Pier would reach 4 feet of mean low water. This would limit the number of vessels. Therefore, we would prevent us from exceeding the VDH's 10 boats. Frankly, we can't live with that. We're sailors. Sailboats draw 4 feet, four and a half feet. 4 feet mean low water, as you know, is an average. It's going to be 3 feet sometimes. It's just not functional for us. Our use is temporary again. Our calculations are 10% of the time on a part-time basis, we'll be at that dock. 90% of the time, there'll be no boats there. And further, in the wintertime, when the provisional shellfish closure is open, we have no boating activities in November, December, January, February, and March. There's likely not to be any boat at all there during those periods. Our design was done by T.C. Kelly. It was constructed 4 or 5 vessels, as I showed. Earlier, I thought there'd be more, so I rafted some out, but it is designed for 5 vessels to reach 5 feet of mean low water. That's pretty much the depth of that part of the creek. It's not any deeper as you go further out. It's a design that will accommodate our intended usage, and thus the design or the usage won't violate the proviso that the Virginia Department of Health has stated. I've mentioned those items. We're governed by rules. Rita mentioned some of those. We have ABC rules because we're licensed to have alcoholic beverages. We have a sublease agreement. We have bylaws and house rules. We're willing to modify those rules to put in the proviso that we can have, never have more than 10 boats at that pier, therefore not triggering that sort of Damocles of potentially having that boat, having you all tell us we have to take that pier down. That's a pretty good hammer. We're going to abide by that proviso, never more than 10 boats, and we will enforce that. I mentioned that we have actuals now. We sail in this area principally. When we sail with other clubs, we're out on the Rappahannock. When we come home, our members tie up their boats on the way back. They're not going to come up for dinner and then go home in the dark. Some would go home and probably take their launch over to the proposed pier, two or three. We only have one sailboat that's unaccounted for. He lives way up the eastern branch, an hour away. He won't go home. He'll tie up at the club pier for dinner, and then he goes home. That's his practice. Again, a smaller pier, the SAS recommendation would just not be functional for us. If it's shortened, to bring us down to 4 feet of mean low water. We're honorable people. We abide by the rules, and again, we're willing to modify those rules to and enforce those rules to live within those constraints. This is another view of the pier location, 70 feet out. You can see where the shallows are. All the piers go out to get to the water, to the deep water, obviously. Patterson Pier is 106 feet long based on the ruler in Google Earth. Adjacent piers are 90 feet long, et cetera. These piers are 250 feet long out on the other side. But, it is not anything out of the norm. And in conclusion, our Commodore will sum it up.
Thank you, Mr. Buck.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. We have a petition that we'd like to present to you. We fully request that you consider the pier that we have requested. It is, George has pointed out, is what we need. I happen to be that one little boat, sir, that lives way up the creek, and you asked about porta-potties or facilities on board. The rule is no coffee within 12 hours and no Coca-Cola of any similar nature. This petition has 144 signatures. 75 of which are not members of the club, sir. I present it to you. We'd be glad to answer any additional questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions? Mr. Sussums?
Question. Yeah, I'm looking at your site plan, and I see you have a septic system with an active repair area, and I assume that's for the clubhouse?
That is, sir. That's an engineered septic system that was approved by the county and installed. Am I correct, George?
And that was going to be my second question, approved by a county.
Oh, yes, sir, everything.
And just for the clubhouse?
Just for the clubhouse.
Thank you, Commodore. Other questions? Yes, sir. Mr. Plumlee?
Currently, the club is a sublessor, or sublessee, correct? Is that accurate? The way I understand it, looking at the arrangement, and so there was this this Old Sailors Club, LLC. Is that an affiliated entity with the club, or is that something the Madsons controlled?
Well, right, if I may, sir.
Thank you, sir. Please just state your name for the record, if you would.
Chairman,
thank you. Welcome.
Members of the commission. Let me see if I can make it understandable, because it is a little. My name is Wiley Wright.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. The Madsons are the owners of the property. The Madsons have leased the property to Old Sailors Club, LLC. Old Sailors Club, LLC has subleased the property to Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club. The sublease clearly gives the club the right to seek a permit for the pier and to build, construct, and use the pier. Does that hopefully answer your question?
Well, what I was curious to know was that the old, Thaler's club is any way affiliated with your club.
It is. Many of the shareholders in the Old Sailors Club, LLC, are members of the club. They're all, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
It is a requirement to be a shareholder in Old Sailors Club, LLC, that you be a member of Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club.
All right.
So the shareholders are limited to members of the club. So it's a sort of three-step progression, if you will, please, from the Madsens as the owners to the LLC to the club.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? All right, seeing none, how many would like to speak in support of this project that haven't already spoken? Are there any that would like to speak in support of the project that have not already spoken? Okay, seeing none, those in opposition to the project, if you'd like to speak, please raise your hand. Yes, sir, in the blue shirt. You come on up. Good morning, and if you would, please just state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Ken Null. I'm the owner with my wife of Yankee Point Sailboat Marina. And as a preface, my wife and I have owned Yankee Point Sailboat Marina for almost 13 years. We have put in 100-hour weeks, a lot of blood, sweat, and money. We know what it takes to run a marina. We were one of the first Virginia clean marinas, and I participated in, I believe, every single clean marina meeting that has been held since its inception. And we've run several Meyer Creek cleanup events through Longwood College's programs in the past. We are a good and very well-run marina, and we try to be good stewards of the water. Our livelihoods depend upon it. None of the members of the Yankee Point Sailing and Cruising Club have ever participated in a cleanup of Meyer Creek. When the club was a member at or a participant in rented a facility at our marina, they were all given the opportunity. That never happened. It gives an indication of how they feel about that particular creek. I know they care about the water. These are all my friends. Okay, a little bit of trouble lately, but we have worked together for a long time. We agreed to disagree a couple of years ago when they decided they wanted to make their own club. Since there's been a little bit of animosity between the members, thinking that maybe we forced them out, and that wasn't the case. But that seems to be the way it went. Okay. More to the point, this application. Didn't follow the proper procedure from the outset. The owner of the property didn't file the application. In fact, it was applied for by a sublessee of a lessee, and for that reason alone, the application should be denied.
Yeah, Mr. Null, if I may, I'm going to have counsel address that because it is important that we clarify that the applicant has proper standing before the commission as we proceed. So,
thank you, sir. I'm sorry. There's nothing in the Virginia Code that requires the owner to apply for a permit for use of bottom land. Anyone may apply for a permit to use bottom land. There are certain exceptions under the code. If the owners of the land wanted to build a private pier, for example, because of the riparian owner, they were subject to an exemption and not required to get a permit from the commission. However, even if this pier would qualify otherwise under the code for an exception, they don't get it here because they're not the riparian owner, but it doesn't preclude them or remove their standing from the ability to apply for the permit.
Okay, that's different than what I'd heard. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Second, at best, the use should be considered, the use as stated, should be considered a multi-user pier. It certainly is not being used by the owner for his personal residential use, nor is it to be open to the community. It's to be used by 118 members, some of whom apparently will keep their boats on a seasonal basis. That was in the application. And it was also stated in the Habitat Management Division Evaluation, third paragraph. They wanted two slips on the creek for seasonal, weekly, and transient use for up to 6 to 8 boats in the 22 to 27-foot range. Nowhere in the previous presentations have you heard the word seasonal, and seasonal is long-term. That's from whatever you want to pick, April the 1st through the end of November. Okay, that's long-term. That's overnight. That's wet slip storage, overnight usage. Okay. Number three, please note that Lancaster County, Virginia Land Development Code, Part 1, Zoning Ordinance, Article 1, Definition specifically states that a marina, commercial, or club type is, and I quote, boating facilities designed and operated for profit or operated by any club or organized group where hull and engine repairs, boat and accessory sales, packaged food sales, restaurants, personal services, fueling facilities, storage and overnight guest facilities or any combination of these are included. This is a marina, folks. You can call it anything you want, but by the definition of the County of Lancaster, it's a marina. Number four, the waterway extends 272 feet across at the point of this pier by the yacht club's own account. The pier will extend out an indeterminate distance into the creek from mean low water, but boats of 7 to 8 and 10 feet will raft outside of the T-head. Two 8-foot beams boats will take the distance 16 feet plus fenders, call it 20, further into the creek. Three would add 24. There's nothing to stop the number of rafted boats out away from this dock. If you've ever been on the river and waterways, and I'm sure you gentlemen have, you know that sailboaters love to raft up. Somebody drops a hook and you'll get 30 boats rafted around in a circle. There's nothing to stop the boats on this dock from rafting out 3, 4, 5 deep, however far they want to go. It's what sailboaters do. That's going to restrict the waterway. It will put them very close to my son and daughter's property, which is directly across the creek from this property. Number five. Further, the proposed pier and L head obviously constitutes a commercial marina. The Army Corps of Engineers states in paragraph 3 of the Habitat Management Division, part of the application of the Army Corps of Engineers, that this application is for a pier with two slips on the creek for seasonal, weekly, and transient use for up to 6 to 8 boats. How are they going to assign seasonal slips if not through some form of remuneration? Yes, they only require dues, but nothing that we have or that the commission could tell would be able to determine whether their dues change if there was a slip availability included. Doesn't the fact that their members pay membership fees and dues, which might easily be raised if they were to keep a boat at this private single-user pier, constitute remuneration? Remuneration equals commerce. A commercial marina requires zoning. I don't want to get into the zoning. I've heard that. But the way they have gone about this whole permit process, the way they have presented the facts is devious, and it appears to me that they feel they are above the law and can do anything they want. Will they just opt to pay the royalty fees and then put out as many boats? I don't know. Number six, the idea of boats using pump-out facilities 5.4 miles away at Carter's Cove Marina in Carter Creek is not practical. A 22 to 24-foot boat, maximum speed is 4 to 5 knots, hull speed, and to drive 1 hour to pump out your port-a-pot is ludicrous, okay? 1 hour round trip, 2 hours, is ludicrous. On top of that, we know that they will find a way to relieve themselves after their festivities. They may not include coffee and Coke in their races, but they do include lots of other toxicants and other beverages, and they certainly will in their social events. That's what it's all about. There's got to be a way to take care of that problem. We're concerned over the contamination of this dead-end creek. Further, the individual who granted the use of the Carter's Cove Marina, Mr. Ron Corris, is in the process of being evicted from that marina and after the operator defaulted on his lease agreement with Carter's Cove's marina's owners, Debbie and Gerald Abbott. It is very likely that this permission is going to be denied. Okay. Small 22 to 24-foot boats generally use small outboard engines. Small outboard engines generally have small onboard fuel tanks. They don't go very far on these fuel tanks. They have to be replenished with fuel and oil, and that's not typically a clean process. Now, in a large body of water, it's usually a small amount. It'll dissipate. okay? But we're in a dead-end creek, and there's not very much wave action, there's not very much water flow, and that concerns us because the oil is going to go to the bottom. My family and I are dependent upon Yankee Point Marina for our livelihood. Taking 10 or more boats from the marina would put an undue hardship on the marina and potentially jeopardize our livelihood and the livelihood of our employees and their 10 families. We, somewhere along the line, the law of the land should be enforced so that the wealthy cannot simply ride roughshod over the working man just because they have more dollars than cents. These people have already bought off Mr. Harkham, Mr. Harkham, to get rid of his objection regarding his oyster rights. They somehow have wheedled this through the county officials against the land use code for the definition of a marina. And if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Yankee Point Marina provides a free slip and trailer storage to VMRC officers. As I understand it, there can be no more than 10 boats at any non-commercial pier or private pier. I can assure you that the neighbors and ourselves will be vigilant to the activity at this pier. In conclusion, please deny this permit application. A dinghy dock is certainly a more reasonable approach for the short-term use after races and would not violate the spirit of the residential zoning or jeopardize so many paychecks of hardworking people and those who love Meyer Creek. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Null. Any questions?
Yes, sir.
You have facilities for pump out and fueling at your location.
Yes, we do. And they asked if we would offer that. Mr. Bott asked me that in the very beginning of this process before we knew they were going to make a commercial marina. Now, we only had the one conversation. I gave him that permission. And yet he went then to Carter Cove, and never talked to us again. That gives you an indication of just how much business the yacht club is going to provide to the marina.
But at this point, you don't intend to provide those services to them?
I have not been asked that again.
Thank you.
Mr. Packard.
One more question. You mentioned the 11 or 10 boats that would be tied out. Might be actual. Are they would they be customers of yours that you think you're going to lose as a result? I did not understand the correlation.
The bulk of the yacht club, the racing and cruising club's clientele have shunned the marina since they moved out of the place that they rented. There, a lot of bad information. Bad information went out about how they made the decision to move on to another place. They thought we had kicked them out. It did not happen. That's all evidence. That's all in writing. So it just there's a lot of bad blood going on right now and a lot of vocal opposition to the marina. And so, no, I don't think that they are going to utilize our marina, but we do have some members, some people that are still staying in the slips that could potentially leave. And we already know of several newcomers to the area that have come to us initially and asked us to do work and then all of a sudden disappeared, never saw them again. So it's already affecting our business. That's why I feel so very personally about it.
Thank you, Mr. Nolan. You did raise the issue of zoning. I'll just point out, as we've already discussed in the staff briefing, that the commission does defer to municipal government on zoning decisions. So that's not before us. Is there anyone else in opposition to the project? Yes, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Karen Patterson. I'm the adjacent property owner, and I know we're not into the residential zoning, but I would like to mention it is a residential area, and we have no issue with them building a dock or pier that is in accordance with the zoning allowed code to be able to build one there. They obtained their occupancy permit by simply changing their name from a yacht club to a cruising club. That is how they got the permit. Yacht club by any other name is still a yacht club. So I think that there's an Article 18 of the Zoning Ordinance of Lancaster that says, which only allows private boat piers 25 feet from the extended property line, one per parcel with four tie-off pilings. We're not objecting to that. We're objecting to a commercial dock pier with four boats moored and staying there overnight with the intent That is clearly what their intent is, and that's what we're in opposition of. In my opinion, this is a yacht club slash marina, and it will only increase the noise, nuisance, pollution, and traffic of the waterway. Also, with respect to the waterway, it increases vessel traffic flow passing through such a narrow cove, which is no outlet. And it should also be considered and studied for the boat impact of boat safety. This also will increase my property value, which I already knew there was a marina there when we bought the property. I never contemplated there would yet be another marina, which is termed a clubhouse, allowed in my backyard. It unquestionably lowers the property value of my property as well as my neighbor's property. And I know that Mr. Harcum has been, whatever you want to term it, bought off, made an agreement with, whatever, and it's no longer an issue. That doesn't mean that the oyster grounds, of natural oyster grounds, are still not there. They're still there. And I believe that we should protect that area. Another thing I want to point out is the scale of this pier slash dock. Again, it's in a residential area. They should be made to comply with the zone laws in that area. Now, they did mention my pier in the link. I have some pictures to show my land is back off the cove. It's not in that waterway. It's not in that narrow channel. Mine is back off the waterway. So do you guys want to take a look at the pictures?
If you have a photo, you can show us. We did see an aerial photo.
I have scale from my property that might be helpful.
That's fine if you have one and you want to submit it.
I do. I have several that will actually show you the area. Should I hand them to you?
That's fine.
Thank you. Point of reference. This is their area. This is the waterway coming through here. So it needs to
Actually, if you want to show them to the full group and point them out, I'll ask Jay to put them up on the viewer. Thanks. And, ma'am, we'll need to save those for 30 days, just so you know. Thank you.
So this is my property. It's taken from my property. This is my pier. It's not in that channel, the waterway, which is through here. This is not working well. When I went across it, thank you. So the main waterway is through here. Again, this is my pier, main waterway. This is the channel across, which they intend to build a pier from here out 70 feet. And this shows the waterway across. Not really a great, but you can see that it's very narrow. Now, back in through here, I'll have another picture. It ends here. It's the end of the cove. The waterway across again. And this sort of shows back in here. Again, this is where they intend to build across. And back in here is the dead end of the cove. That's it. This is another picture of it. And this is a sign that I think Mr. Woodward spoke of right there about the order. Oyster Crown. Also have a, this is just one of their schedule. You're probably not going to be able to see it, but because it's small, but they have four events in September of their...
Ma'am, I'll try to get that in focus, if I can.
And this is just this year, their new club. Four events in September that sponsor racing, cruising, regattas. So there's four events right there in September that they would tie these boats up that they want to bring there and have whatever events they have at a yacht cruising club. And I have a petition with some names, and I'll submit that as well, that you all, if you want to keep.
That's fine.
That petition, I think, is already a part of your packet.
Okay. All right.
Jay, we already have a copy of that for the record. Thank you. Okay.
And then one other thing, right, again, hard talking about residential versus yacht club versus marina, but it came off the Lancaster County site of zoning. So a yacht club is an area and or structure established for the purpose of water-oriented recreation to include only one wharf or dock, the sale of gas and oil, clubhouses, and other social facilities for club members and their guests. Yacht club. And Ken read the definition of marina, which is sort of close, similar. Just wanting to establish that, really, clearly this organization was allowed to infiltrate a residential area by simply changing their name and applying for a permit. That's basically all I have other than... I would like to see this denied and granted possibly a residential dock as it should be in accordance with the zoning laws.
Thank you, ma'am. And again, the county zoning determinations aren't before us in terms of this commission second-guessing those determinations or the merits of those findings, but I appreciate your concern.
This gives you some background on how things were done.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in opposition to the project? Seeing none? Yes, sir. There are two more? Okay. And I would just ask if we have more testimony, if you could focus on new information that we haven't heard at this point. We've already heard quite a bit about both sides of the case, but if you would, please state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Karen Null, and I'm co-owner of Yankee Point Sailboat Marina with my husband, Ken. You all have in your packet the letter of protest from our son and daughter, Kevin and Kirsten Null. And they are very, very concerned about the decrease in property value. They own 27 or 28 acres with thousands of feet of running feet of waterfront. And they're very concerned about the decrease in value of their property by having what we consider amounts to a commercial facility right across. Additionally, we have three small grandchildren who swim in that creek, who paddle out in their boat, who are out there sometimes in the middle. We're concerned about greatly increasing the traffic that goes up there because it would be akin to your children playing on a cul-de-sac where no cars ever go by and there's no traffic. It's exactly the same premise. I'd like to the proponents of this proposal spoke to being good neighbors and good stewards. I can say that we at Yankee Point have also been very, very good stewards. For 18 years, we have been the sponsors of a Kiwanis annual boat auction, which raised almost $400,000 for local community efforts for benefiting children. We are also sponsors of a nail and fill program, which sponsors a Habitat for Humanity church groups that come. We have been, since its very inception, the host of the Turkey Shoot Regatta, which benefits local hospice, and will be held again soon, and we have upwards of 1,000 people there on a weekend with up to 150 boats. So in terms of the Boys and Girls Club, my husband and my late father-in-law were the people who were directly responsible for starting a Boys and Girls Club in our community. So we are also very, very good stewards. We are very determined to give back to the community, because that's what living in the Northern Neck is about, is giving back. I would suggest that that you deny this application, because it has not been presented what we feel is an honest and straightforward manner. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Questions? All right, seeing none, there was one more comment in the back. One more comment in opposition, I believe. Yes, sir. Good morning. Please state your name for the record.
Wayne Bishop.
Good morning.
I'm an employee at Yankee Point Marina. I do believe this will affect all of this together, will affect business and possibly my income. Would be the pollution aspect from these boats. There will be a lot of outboards, oil exhaust, and that sort of thing. Also, those oyster grounds are, like was already stated, are still there, whether they're actually in use or not. Hopefully, at some point, they will be.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Good morning, sir. Please state your name for the record.
John Hall.
Good morning.
Look, my objection mostly is I can sit on my porch to the left of the marina, which is about 100 foot from where they had their parties. They'll be down to the creek. They come back. If it's stragglers come back and nobody looking, me and my little daughter sitting on the porch, and they'll be urinating on wherever they want. Not all of them, but there's certain people do it. And that's not something we want down there. That's my main objective.
Thank you. One more comment in the back? Yes, sir. Then we'll go back to the applicant.
My name is Michael Hughes, and I am also an employee at Yankee Point Marina. And I feel that the approval of this pier would adversely affect my employment there. I've been there since 96, and I've worked on pretty much everybody's boat in this sailing club. And I also believe the biggest problem would be the pollution that this would cause upriver from us. So I bring my family down to use the facilities at the marina and the water. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, are you suggesting that the club is going to be doing service work that would be done necessarily at the club and not at your place of business?
It's already been going that direction.
Thank you. Okay, with that, I'll come back to the applicant. The applicant will have a couple of minutes to offer any final comments or rebut information that's been provided.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Bott.
If I understood Mr. Hall correctly, he is the tenant that lives next door. I thought I heard urination. I'm not positive of that. There was an allegation or a complaint when we were under construction. We had a mason crew in there on Saturday, which is normal. And I heard that there was some cussing. We asked one of our ministers, Lucy Hoddle, to go over and speak to Mr. Hall and clarify that. I talked to the Masons personally, and we eliminated that issue. This is the first I've ever heard of this urination, if that's what I understood. Mr. Bishop, Wayne Bishop, talked about pollution and oysters. We are, as I demonstrated, keenly interested in those two issues. We have documents to back that up. Mrs. Knoll, Karen Knoll, spoke about commercial in nature. We are not. Traffic in the area, meaning auto traffic, we've been there for 36 years on the creek. 33 years we were over the ship store down at the marina. So there's nothing new about the issue. Mrs. Patterson spoke. Nice to see you again, ma'am. I believe you attended our open house in the spring, although under a different name.
Sir, if you would direct your comments to the chair.
Yes, sir.
And avoid anything that's ad hominem, please.
Yes, sir. We are the Yankee Point Yacht Club doing business as the Yankee Point Racing and Cruising Club. That is because of our tax-exempt nature. That document goes back to 1980. It's on file with the county of Lancaster. The Lancaster County Administrator made a determination that we are a social club, and there is a memo on file to that regard. We built the clubhouse, as you saw, to look like a single-family resident. We wanted to fit into that neighborhood. Mr. Knoll had quite a few topics, just a few. I don't recall asking about pump out. I may have the distance to the marina. The Virginia Department of Health said a marina within 5 miles. We're a tad over that with our agreement. And apparently I used the word seasonal. If I did, I did not mean it the way Mr. Knoll took it. I meant in the summertime. I did not mean seasonal leasing or overnight or any of that. We've spoken, we've testified that that is not our intended usage. That is not the way we'll use that that pier. We certainly applaud the clean marina. We're all for that. I was passed a note by Mr. Matson, the property owner, that he and his wife participated in cleanup of the creek. So did two of our other members, Rick and Sue Johnson, and others. This is testimony, I understand. This is what they said. I think that's it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Botter. Are there any final questions from the commission?
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Plumley. Sir, Mr. Botter, if you could come back up. We have a couple of questions, I believe. Right. Mr. Plumley.
I'm just trying to get clear because I don't see a lot of this material until we're up here. You know, and so I'm trying to look at these two leases and compare them and see where some of the differences are. So you might be able to help clarify a little bit of this for me. I see there's a right to purchase or an obligation to purchase the property for the Wholesalers LLC
from
entity.
That entity
from the Madsen.
That entity should go away.
And I'm sorry. That entity should go away. Explain that to me.
Wholesaler LLC, correct me if I'm wrong, Judge Wright, was an entity to raise funds and improve the property. In 20 years, the members that bought the shares, those shares would be retired, that entity would go away, and the club would be the owner of those properties.
So the actual sublessor under the second lease becomes owner under that scenario of the premises as well. So there's commonality then between the sublessee and the sublessor, who's the leaseor.
That's correct. Okay.
Sir, if you'd state your name again for the record.
My name is Wiley Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Wright.
I'm a member of the club as well as one of the managers of the LLC. The legal structure is such that at the end of the 20 years, the club will end up being the owner of the property. It's a little convoluted, and council would probably like to look at the documents to be sure of what I'm saying, but that's the ultimate effect of it. The yacht club, that is the Racing and Cruising Club, leases the property for 20 years from the LLC, which in turn is paying rent to the Madsens. At the end of the 20-year period, the yacht club, that is the Racing and Cruising Club, becomes the owner of the property, and then the LLC can be dissolved.
And you know this is an important question because when we place conditions on a permit, we want to place it upon the party that's going to be responsible for upholding those conditions and can be held responsible under the permit. So we want to make the appropriate party responsible. And so this arrangement is a little unusual, but I think I understand what you're saying.
I think it's fair to say that if you want to make the restrictions, whatever they may be, applicable to Racing and Cruising Club, the LLC, and even the Madsens, I'll take the liberty of speaking for them. I'm not their attorney, but I see no reason why those restrictions shouldn't apply to all three entities.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if we have any questions about that, we'll clarify with our counsel. Mr. Tankard?
To clarify for me, please, sir, what you said, you mentioned just moments ago, there would be no overnight dockage there.
I would say once in a blue moon. If we were tied up for dinner, we have potluck dinners after the race, with several boats in our actual data experience now. If there was a storm or something, that boat couldn't get home, we'd stay there that night. But in practice, no overnight.
Thank you, Mr. Bott. Other questions of the applicant? All right, seeing none.
Mr. Chairman, would you indulge me one more time?
Sir, I'm sorry, I can't. Under the procedures that we have, we allow the applicant to come up and make one final set of closing statements and rebut information that's been provided.
Supplement Mr. Bott's statement, if I might be.
I'm sorry, I've already asked the applicant to offer those closing remarks. So if we have any follow-up questions, we'll certainly ask them. Jay, do you mind putting up the plan view drawing for us so that we can have the commission discussion? And Jay, we heard some concerns about the length of the pier. Your recommendation was that we modify the footprint. We heard from the applicant about how that might impact their ability to moor sailboats or get sailboats to that dock at that bottom contour. We also heard from the protestants' concerns about unlimited rafting potentially and how that might affect the waterway. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between the length of the pier and rafting as it relates to encroachment within the waterway?
Yeah, my concern when I got this drawing, which I asked Mr. Bott for clarification, and this is what I got, and it was very, responsive and timely. Clearly this was not two boats at a private pier. It was, in this case, 2, 4, 6, 8. And if, I don't want to say potentially unlimited, but when you can raft side two with, these are, I assume, fenders. These are not pilings. You can go out as far as you want, as long as the guy that you're rafted to allows you to walk across his boat to get to the dock, to get to the clubhouse. So I took that with the drawing here submitted by Mr. Bott shows the 4-foot mean low water contour. You can't really see that the line goes across about here. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 boats in channel landward of the 5-foot mean low water contour, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 offshore of that. He doesn't give depths, draft of these vessels, but with a swing keel, you can. I don't know the vessels. Yeah, again, our feeling was we wanted to get back to the statement by the health department that provided the pier is not constructed as to allow. So I don't know how we could physically limit that. I felt that one way to get toward that is eliminate the ability to come inshore of any L head they might have. So move the whole thing landward. I don't know if that gets all the way to your question. The other thing that I brought up, the 300 foot across the waterway, there was another comment, 270 some feet across the waterway. Generally a third is the rule. We get, this side gets a third, that side gets a third, there's a third in the middle, there's a thoroughfare. So, doing some math, if you go out to 70 feet and then you've got boats that are 7 and 8 feet wide, how many rafted now exceeds that one-third width of the waterway? Again, understanding it's temporary, they're rafted, or that's the way it was presented. So, we just made an attempt at the staff level to accommodate necessary development by allowing some structure that would allow them some access from the water to the clubhouse without giving unlimited or excessive ability to keep more vessels than would likely require a condemnation of active shellfish leases. And you'd ask for the, was this the plan view you were asking for? Or
I think the one you just had up there was probably adequate for discussion. And if we have to go back and review any of the contours, I think you had a chart also of the contours.
Yeah, and it's correct. This next one, I'm assuming height of tide on shellfish pole marked by flag. That was the pole that showed up in my photograph, the prohibited shellfish area pole. So I'm assuming that this is the contour going up into the cove here. You know, the Patterson property would be here. And then as you come around the shoreline toward Mr. Young's parcel, they've got flags here. I don't know. I didn't see those flags. They might have been on the shoreline. But this shows 2, 3, 4, and 5 feet, 5 feet being out, 66, in this case, 67, 68 feet, channel where the low water line.
Thank you, Mr. Woodward. All right, one more question from Mr. Tank.
Mr. Woodward, when we look at these things oftentimes in a residential setting, we allow a certain number of slips at a dock, say if it's a community or a private pier in a residential. What do you know what would be allowed in this area on a lot like this?
Well, if you're speaking of, we have kind of a...
You have a formula.
A guideline that each private pier, a lot that would support a private pier in whatever zoning that county might be, you might have to have 100 feet to be considered a waterfront pier in Northumberland. You might get away with 50 feet in middle. If it's an acceptable platted private parcel, residential parcel, that parcel is entitled to a riparian private pier. We have always just kind of used two boats for a pier, one on either side of the straight pier. This guy might have more money or, like boats more, he's got more. This guy doesn't have any, he just has a pier. So generally speaking, one pier per parcel, two boats per pier. When we then go to community piers, we would go the 2X,
right.
And we would add one as a guest. So this is a private residential lot. A private pier at this lot would not require a permit from VMRC, and we would generally believe it to support two boats.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff? All right, seeing none of the matters before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just make some comments, if it's all right. First of all, I'm impressed that this is an active sailing group and that they are actively using the waterways of the Commonwealth, and I think that's a desirable item. I do feel, however, that this is an unfortunate placement of the pier. The waterway is narrow, and it is residential in nature, and that's disturbing to some. I think it is appropriate to reduce the length of the pier somewhat, as recommended by staff, and I would not be in favor of any overnight placement of boats, and certainly not more than 9 boats at the dock at any time. And so those are my general thoughts, and I'll leave it to one of my compatriots to craft it up.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Further discussion by the commission? Mr. Plumley?
My comments are very similar. I think it's better to pull this back under these circumstances. It may not be what the club wants. I do laud them for coming forward. Just because our definition of commercial is different than the county's definition of what's commercial and private, really doesn't. All it means is that we're regulating this. That's all it means for our purposes. We're regulating it. for that reason, I'd prefer to go with the staff's recommendation and pulling it back, which would, by design, reduce the number of vessels that could be tied. I don't want to quite limit them to what is a strictly residential lot, you know, under the guidelines, which is nothing we go around and force. I mean, if we see more than two boats on a pier, we don't go and arrest people, you know. We don't make them tear out their pier. I mean, we don't do that. This could have come an entirely different way. We could have had a private lot owner come and say, I want to build a pier, and they build a pier this big, and it would have been built, and then they sold it later to the club. I mean, it could have happened just that way. But they've come in advance and told us about their desires and allowed us to regulate it. So it would be my recommendation to follow the staff comments here to limit by design the number. And I frankly think it's going to benefit the area. I think it's going to benefit the marina once all of these feelings are resolved. I think it's going to be better that there not be a number of these people having to buy those waterfront lots and bring their vessels there to that spot in other ways, but they're allowed to do it this way. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Mr. Tanker?
I would concur with Mr. Plumley. I think that the restrictions that the staff has mentioned for us reducing the length of the pier also helps with regard to the narrowness of the waterway, and that's a concern for me. I think that reducing the length and knowing that sailors have the ability and desire to raft up, particularly since they're a club, I think that the length, once they begin to raft up, could easily take up more than a third of the waterway. So reducing the length makes good sense to me. And I thus make a motion that we accept staff recommendation.
Sir, it matters before the commission now. We can't take any additional comment.
I wasn't going to make a comment, sir. I was going to make a request.
Sir, it's already before the commission.
Would you hear me out, please?
I'll tell you what. Go ahead. If it's specific to the design.
Gentlemen, we received the report from staff yesterday. We have not had a sufficient opportunity to consider and form a response to the questions that have been raised. On behalf of the club, I would ask you to continue this matter for a short period of time to give us an opportunity to consider what is in this report and perhaps to work with staff to see if we can overcome some of the issues that have been raised. I make that request very respectfully.
Thank you, sir. Attorney, do you have a comment?
First, with regard to their receipt of the application or the evaluation yesterday, it is a matter of public record on Monday, the day before the commission, just so we can ensure that the commission members have had a chance to get it beforehand. With regard to our concerns about the length of the pier and concerns we had about use relative to the shellfish issues and needs to limit it, I know Jay has had some conversations with him about ideas. I know in a conversation I had with Mr. Bott at one point, brought up the issue of, well, you know, if we got shellfish issues, you know, the extent to which you want to have that pier out there, we have some concerns. Now, he felt like the 10 boats was the issue, not necessarily how long the pier was, but I raised the point some time ago that, you know, we may at the staff level have some concerns about the extent to which it was built out. So we feel like, you know, we have, while it wasn't in the form of a formal recommendation to the commission, some of the concepts and concerns that have been put in the recommendation, I think, have been discussed with them to some extent. They may feel it's less than I do, but that's the point I want to make, that we've had some discussions with them. So it's certainly up to the commission if you want to defer or come back at a later date, but I just wanted to get that clarified in terms of how we work with folks to try and resolve these. As you can see, it's been around since January.
Tony, thanks for those additional clarifications. So we have a motion. Ed, could you please repeat that?
My motion is simply to accept staff recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Sessoms. Discussion on the motion, and you've also heard the request. I would just ask, if the commission chooses to act on the request to continue the case, we need to have some discussion about what might be gained from that. And that would require essentially a substitute motion. So a discussion on the motion before the commission.
believe it would be, if we pass this motion, I believe the applicant would still have the chance to talk to staff and perhaps negotiate something in the future. But in other words, so I don't see that they are necessarily prohibited by us accepting this motion.
Well, I guess I'll ask for staff clarification, but I think if we put a limit on the length of the pier, that would in fact be a binding term of the permit.
Tony?
No, I understand.
Yeah. However, you know, at some point down the road, I guess I could come back in and ask to modify that or do something different.
Yeah.
But right now, the permit we would envision issuing would be as the recommended line staff suggested, and which is in the form of the motion, and with a revised drawing submitted by them that
right.
reflected those conditions before the permit was issued.
So, Tony, any further extension beyond the limiting length of the pier would require an application to amend.
New public interest.
Right.
It was a whole new deal.
Right. I just want to be clear that, it, you know, if we put that in as a condition of the permit, that can't be exceeded without, you know, an additional review process or modification of the permit.
Mr.
Plumley?
I guess your question was, what is to be gained by the deferral? I mean, what can be debated or worked upon during the period of the deferral in order to present us some alternate plan that would better represent what your desires are and what our needs are? I'm not sure I know in my mind what that is. That's no limiting factor. But if there's anyone else sitting here that can think of something that I can't think of, I mean, I think it'd be in everybody's best interest to proceed and so you're not held up and things could move forward. That would be my recommendation, because my feeling is my thoughts aren't going to change a lot, you know, between now and the next sitting of the commission on this subject, because we're trying to limit the number of vessels at this location.
Thank you, Mr. Tankard.
And further, not only trying to really limit the vessels, but the intrusiveness of this dock and its sailors into the waterway. I think that geography will not change no matter what. That 300 or 274 feet is fixed. So thus, I think the motion is a good one in that regard.
Thank you. So just to be clear, there's also a recommendation for a royalty assessment, and I'll just ask the maker of the motion and second, or if that's also part of their motion.
Yes, indeed.
Agreed by the seconder. Okay.
You agree then.
Yes. Mr. Sessions?
Yes,
agree. Okay, thank you. Further discussion on the motion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.